Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adatula.
All right, gearing up for the weekend. Saturday at 3:30 is when the Texans play the Los Angeles Chargers, get honestly the entirety of the playoffs going, as they often do.
As right? They always have done.
That's right. whenever they're in the playoffs, because NRG Stadium will be rocking. Of course, shout out to the winners who got those Texans tickets on this Texans Ticket Tuesday. There's still one more opportunity that'll happen during the drive, so keep it locked here on Sports Radio 610. But what's going to be really important in this game is, you know, if that offense is clicking, right? If C.J. Stroud looks more like himself, if you're able to run the football, all of those things hinge in some ways, or maybe in just a large way, on the offensive coordinator, Bobby Slowick, getting these things to go right. Executed, you know, making sure the execution is right, all those types of things. Mm-hmm. But generally, I think yesterday, I don't remember exactly what we were even talking about at one point, where I was, you know, I kind of mentioned the idea that there's, you know, possible distrust of Bobby Slowick. And there was at least one texter who just texted in and was just like, I don't understand that distrust. And so I kind of wanted to do an informal poll on the text line on what the Bobby Slowick confidence meter is ahead of this game. And so if you don't mind, Lopez, I'd like to kind of start with you, where you stand going into this.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you what my confidence meter, where it ranks. But a texter put it pretty good. He said, my meter is broken. The meter is broken. And that's actually, there's a lot to that. Like, you don't know what to think. I mean, he was good last year. Same quarterback. Probably an offensive line that as much as C.J. Stroud has been running for his life, was even worse. I would, you know, you could argue.
I was like, I think they delivered better. They played better while, yeah. I mean, having similar players.
Yeah. So maybe it's broken. My confidence meter, like, if we're going 1 to 10, man, it's like at about 6.
That's not as low as, I mean, as it can absolutely go, but obviously,
but it ain't great.
Not the inspired level that you would hope going into the postseason. What gets you to that place? Like, what are the things specifically, if you don't mind?
I think my biggest issue with Bobby Slowick is crucial situations kind of going into his bag for no apparent reason. First down and second down, gaining yardage, being able to manipulate some sort of blocking scheme to be able to run the ball and get 4, 5, 6 yards on first or second down. That has never gone away. You know, Joe Mixon has had some big days and some big runs, but consistently they cannot get in good, manageable third down situations. I'm sorry. You can talk about the offensive line. You can talk about, you know, other play calling. But if you consistently fall short on first and second down, that's on the offensive coordinator. You have to figure it out. You have to figure whether it's shorter passes, not screens, by the way, but, you know, shorter passes, mixing up the blocking scheme, changing personnel, which I know they've done some. That's on the offensive coordinator. Like being able to shorten the sticks is on you, no matter what hand you're dealt. And that's my biggest issue. Second down.
I think that's fair. And I mean, notoriously, like, he has built up a reputation of being the guy who is lighting early downs on fire, particularly first down, right? Mm-hmm. Just with runs that are not beneficial. And I think that there's still obviously place to speak to the idea of, hey, going out there and executing to a high level what is being asked of you. Like, mm-hmm. I understand that. However, as you're right, you got to see if you can find the ways to, you know, either get that execution to be there, or, you know, use what you have execution wise to find something that works. And it just feels like it has, again, the consistency is the word that keeps coming to mind here, that you haven't found any level of consistency in doing that. And I think we've seen a lot of cycling, but my confidence level is pretty low myself, because cycling is fine, but actually finding answers is the name of the game. And going back and watching, I guess, that first drive at the very least, it was good seeing the offensive line be better about, you know, say, mm-hmm. maintaining blocks, right? Sustaining blocks, as D'Amico Ryans put it. But it's not like they were creating a ton of push there. And I understand you got some big bodies in the middle for the Tennessee Titans team, and so maybe that looks a little bit different in this one. However, there was still a lot of plays where you have someone screaming off the edge because mm-hmm. of the way that you have, like on one given play, you had, you know, Blake Fisher off the right end. It's a play that's going to the left. I think basically, I mean, it's not power, but, you know, off tackle to the left, or sorry, outside zone to the left, basically. Mm-hmm. And on the right side of things, you have Mechie pulled in kind of tight, which a lot of those tight formations continue to stack those blocks. That's still there, which is a frustration at times. And the situation was Mechie's supposed to pick up the linebacker, and who is Luke Gifford, oddly enough, a name that I'm familiar with, but not the fastest dude, just kind of replacement-level linebacker. Mm-hmm. And so you have Blake Fisher out here getting the end, who is wide, in this wide nine on the, you know, weak side of the play. Mm-hmm. And then you have Mechie, who has to try and work inside to a linebacker who's triggering into that space, and mind you, not quickly. And he doesn't really get the block there. And Luke Gifford isn't, like, really a part of the play. He kind of gets a hand on Mixon as he's going by. But I'm like, if that's a better linebacker who triggers in the right time, that's a play that gets blown up. And there was a couple of those on that drive that I was looking at. I was like, hey, these are some instances. And I do wonder how much of this is just, like, the way that the play is designed, to where even if you execute it as well as possible, you might be asking too much. And that's one of the things that we see sometimes in those screenplays where you're like, hey, Larry Metunsil is supposed to get out in space and go be the lead blocker here. And it just doesn't feel like you can get those. And I ask myself, how many times are you not necessarily setting your guys up for success, which feels like it's the name of the game?
That's exactly the name of the game. And then the other thing that really has, you know, kind of turned me on Bobby Slowik is we're kind of past the discussion, but they're not doing very much in second halves of games. Remember that? What was it, six games, five games, whatever it was, where they never scored in the second half, something like that? Like, That's the offensive coordinator. That's adjustments. That's being able to work on the fly, adjust during the game, not just at halftime. You know, you guys know I've always thought that's a little bit overrated, the old halftime adjustments, but not making the adjustments in the second halves of games, not getting the points on the board, touchdowns, that is, in the second halves of game. No, he's I'll put it this way. If things don't go well for the Texans and their offense is in much the same form, I don't know if he hangs around. I don't know if he keeps his job.
Yeah, and that's kind of an interesting thought within it, like in and of itself, mm-hmm. because we've seen various different organizations have to make some of those types of decisions, mm-hmm. whether they continue going with, you know, a young, talented coordinator or whatever, or if they, you know, are willing to make changes. That's going to be a real big question to ask, mm-hmm. and I think as of right now, I'm not sold that he's actually going, that decision will be made for you. In the way that I think some fans are hoping, like when you see the Jets thing come up, that feels like that's a wide net being cast, and we haven't seen yet, although anybody else asked for request interviews from Bobby Slowik. So it feels like that's going to be a decision that D'Amico Ryans is going to have to make. And it feels like right now, that the decision needs to be get something else, because, I mean, even first year Bobby Slowik, it was, hey, there's promise here. And let's see where it goes to. And we haven't seen that development continue even, and you're going to hate this, what is it, irrespective?
Like, oh, yeah.
You hate that word, don't you?
No, I hate irregardless.
Irregardless, oh, okay. Yeah. So irrespective of the fact that you have not
Is actually a word.
Thank you.
Irregardless is not.
All right, very good. I mean, it is a word because that's how words happen.
It is what it is.
People use them enough and then they become words that are commonly understood. But irregardless of the fact that you have not had, see what I did there? You've not had a ton of incredible execution of what's been put on.
The other thing that is really sort of, you know, impacting the confidence level you have in Bobby Slowik is you have C.J. Stroud. Like, it's one thing if Davis Mills were still the quarterback, you could go, well, you know, some of the plays are there. He's not as mobile as we would hope, and he's getting hit a lot more, et cetera. But no, that's C.J. Stroud back there, and you know what he's capable of doing. And so, to me, that's as big a factor as anything with Bobby Slowik.
at the risk of throwing this entirely off, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be good. I'm going to stay on the rails, and we'll go off the rails.
Well,
after
now you got
to
say it.
No, I don't. I'll come back to it. I promise. I've written it down. But this was D'Amico Ryans yesterday talking to the media. You heard it live here. This is what he said about. There was a question asked to him about where he's seen. Bobby Slowick grow as a coach.
Yeah, I don't know if any season is smooth, right? You have a lot of ups and downs, even, you know, when you're winning, kind of those things kind of go under the rug. But there are ups and downs as coaches, and as coaches, you have to grow and evolve. You have to do things different, and sometimes you set out to do or you have a mindset of doing things one particular way, and you always have to kind of tweak those things and do what's best for the guys that you have and what they're capable of doing. So I see where I think Bobby has definitely grown in that area of being able to adjust and put our guys in position to where they can be successful.
Has he grown? Has he?
And that feels like excuse feels like too harsh of a way of putting it.
Well, he's protecting his guy.
I mean, yes, yeah. Which we know he is want to do, but that feels like a, you know, kind of a justification of, hey, this doesn't look good because of the issues that are around.
Sure.
Which, one, seems like it's going to be Bobby Slowick, a return of Bobby Slowick, but two, I mean, if these are the adjustments, like, how strongly does he believe that the issues have been? And two, like, are we not in a league and in a sport where there are always going to be issues and you need to find answers to?
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. You know, the adjustments, being able to adjust with your personnel from year to year, which is one of the other things that would kind of turn you on Bobby Slowick last year to this year. But also, this is a team that you've got to make some big changes in the offseason. Is it easier to change Laremy Tunsil and Titus Howard and Kenyon Green and maybe some receivers or Bobby Slowick? You know,
and that's an after the season type thing. Yeah, but going into this game, like, that's one of the things that is frustrating, because when it comes as far as coordinators go, Jesse Minter has done a great job of just kind of putting his guys in the best place to succeed. With, I mean, he's got some talented players, but that is not a roster that screams to you like, oh, this is an incredible defense. But he puts those guys in the right place defensively, and you compare that to against Bobby Slowick, like, it feels like even just situationally, there are missteps more often than there should be. And I think that's one of the things that gives me a little bit of pause in this game and does not allow me to be as confident as I would like to be. Now, there's various people on the text line throwing it like, hey, why have we done any running back screens? It feels like that is an underutilized space. And I tend to agree, right? The idea of, you know, having some of these wide receivers having to be in critical blocks more often. Like, those are all things and questions that come up with Bobby Slowick that make me a little bit skeptical of what he brings to the table in this particular matchup.
No, I think skeptical is the right word. I think the confidence meter with Bobby Slowick. Now, here's the other part. We did get that one, and this is why I started Monday's show with, you know, are we good? You know, one drive. But it was one crisp drive. It was against the Titans, and it wasn't, you know, 6 for 6, and it was moving the ball.
Yeah.
And, you know, flipping that switch. So maybe he did change some things, and we'll see more of it on Saturday.
Yeah, remains to be seen. I will now return back to the chicanery that someone pointed out on the text line, and I'll allow you guys to be the judges here. Was I wild, and was I out of pocket for this? Apparently, on a text line from the 832, they said, Reggie, that's wild, you tweaking. Pause. And I didn't remember what I said. And they said that I said, sit on the deep ball. And I'm guessing I was talking about.
Hey, yo.
Is that really?
Hey, yo.
I feel like that is like very common sports parlance. And I know sports parlance will get you into some weird places.
Yeah.
That one doesn't feel like that's that egregious, is it? For real?
Figgy thinks so. I don't think it's that bad.
Sit on the deep ball is wild. When you think about it, that's kind of wild.
Word.
That's kind of wild.
I'm gonna have to side with you on this.
Honestly, it's a lot of football terms that y'all be saying that's kind of wild, but I just let it go because it's football.
Okay.
And we grown men.
How am I supposed to get around that? Yeah. What's the creative way? Like, you know, just like sit in.
That's
wait
what I'm saying. I'm kind of on your side.
Like, does sit on the deep shot work any better? Because I feel like it don't. Right. Like
it
we
doesn't.
You know what I mean? Where am I supposed to go here?
I think the thing you got to do is just say pause at the end of it.
I'm not doing that. I refuse. I'm sorry. I'm not doing that.
Sit on the deep ball, pause, and then just keep going with your statement.
Figgy does that.
That's wild. Yeah. We'll see, man. Like, mm-hmm. again, I just end up in a wait-and-see mode with Bobby Slowick time and time again.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, again, there's opportunity here, but it's going to be a particular challenge. Not saying that the Chargers are, like, just the best team in the world, but you're going to need – one thing they do is they maximize what they do.
Yes.
Right?
And that's, yes, they do.
That's been the thing that I've been clamoring for this Texas team all year long, and it feels like you haven't gotten that this season. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Somebody said, where did Eric Bieniemy go? Eric Bieniemy is in college right now. Mm-hmm. He took his talents to coordinating in college, but he felt like he just missed the window. Or I guess missed the window. It's hard to miss a window that was never
open.
Well,
he did miss it.
That was never open to you, exactly. Right? It was never really open to him.
Yeah.
But yeah, after he went gone to Washington, but look, I'm wasting time because it's about that time we're supposed to hand it over to Figgy Fig for the mixtape.
Yeah, man. So I got the hottest song of 2025. It could have helped the NBA ratings.
Oh, wow.
I want to see something real quick. Plus, a legendary R&B artist out here gangbanging.
What? All right.
One more.
Oh, triple T's.
Chick-fil-A did something right under our noses, and people are pissed about it.
Okay. I really want to hear about all these things. You should also want to hear about them next.
Pass the aux cord and crank up the volume. Figgy Fig's in the driver's seat. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. It's time for Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610.
Yes, it is Figgy's Mixtape on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. It's your man Figgy Fig holding it down on a Tuesday. Happy Tuesday to everyone out there. And the hottest song of 2025. I didn't think it was going to come this quick.
It's early,
quick, man. It's super early, man. Are you guys familiar with LeAngelo Ball?
I am.
One of the Ball brothers.
Yes.
The one that quite didn't make it. Might be the Derek Watt of the. Or I would give Derek Watt a little more credit because he actually stayed in the week, in the league for a little bit.
So. Yeah. LeAngelo Ball is the middle of
former
of
Charger.
The LeAngelo Ball?
No. Derek Watt.
No, okay, very good.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I was like, man, LeAngelo Ball really branched out.
Yeah,
good for him.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, man, he got a hit song, a song that actually took off on social media. Mm-hmm. I did not see this happening at all. I kind of want y'all to be the judge of this song, man. This song, I'm going to let you know the opportunities this song gave him after he released it. But here's LeAngelo Ball with a song called Tweakers.
I might swerve in that corner, whoa. Told on tight, cause I tweaking this bitch, I letting go. And I heard that she wanna show me who she be, I'm kinda f***ing with it, show me some more. B***y tatted, head to toe, could give a f***. Story wrote, you wanna tweak it up with me and I'ma show you how that go. Like the money in my pockets blow. They having convos about me, these don't know. Tell me what they talking about. I ain't listening, let your thoughts run your mouth. But ain't touching dividends.
I can already see the people that are like, man, I'm not trying to hear this, and I've got bad news for you. These athletes, they are. Like, we're already seeing, like,
they playing it in the locker rooms, man. They playing it actually in the arena. I want to say, I think it was the Cavaliers and Hornets.
Yeah.
They was actually trolling one of the Ball brothers, the LaMelo Ball.
Mello.
They was trolling them a little bit. They played that song at the end when they won the game.
Yeah, yeah. So you might hear this some more, whether you like it or not. I will say, and if you play a little bit of Madden, like in the aughts, like, didn't it sound like this could have been on Madden 03?
It do. It sound like a 2000 song. A lot. So this song been going all over TikTok, social media and stuff. And somebody played this song for an older guy. And he said he thought it was Nelly.
It does have a little bit Nelly. Of that vibe to it. I'm very interested, though, how you ended up with a song that sounded so 2005 while...
He sounded like he from New Orleans.
In the year of our Lord.
It sounded like a New Orleans type of vibe to it.
It really does.
Is he going to mess around and make more money than his brothers?
No.
Well,
I don't know. Well, he ain't making no more than LaMelo.
Yeah, LaMelo's
yeah,
paid.
Yeah.
LaMelo legitimately is a high level player that's going to keep getting kind of that kind of contract. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Lonzo Ball, just the injuries are going to keep.
Yeah, I think he got his money already. But LeAngelo Ball, he just got booked for Rolling Loud.
Okay.
He will be on a Rolling Loud stage with one song.
Where is Rolling Loud? Is that in
Cali? This one's in California.
Because I know that one bounces around.
Yeah, so Rolling Loud, it starts March 15th. And he going to be on the stage, man.
Oh, wow. Yeah. 832 said even the Rockets social media pages are using that as a caption on player highlights. Yeah, man. It is popping, but I don't know if it'll rise to the level of really and truly by the end of the year being like the or in the conversation for the song of the year. I think this
right now it is.
Right. Exactly. I think this is one of those ones that's just like it's a moment. It's one that people latch on to.
And he's got to follow it up.
Yeah. No, what's crazy is I think when the song came, like the song didn't even officially come out at the time. He just played it on somebody posted it, him in the car driving, they was listening to it.
Yeah.
And people just ran with it to the point he had to put it out. He had to put the actual audio out.
You know, the interesting thing about it is, you know, there's certain biases that were working against him from the start.
Oh, 100%.
You know what I'm saying? Here's a basketball player.
I'm like, ain't nobody trying to hear no LiAngelo.
Yeah, LiAngelo Ball wants to do this now. And he still overcame it.
Yeah, so everybody kind of like
something to be said for that, you know?
Yeah, because you had some people like, man, I ain't listening to that great.
Exactly.
And some people was like, hey, this is a lightweight fire, though.
Shout out to Cam on the YouTube, who is, again, highlighted the thing that is going to make this stick for a little bit longer than I think that, you know, a lot of people would or other people would want it to be, which is he quoted that one part, I might swerve in the corner, whoa,
whoa.
that is the thing that I've got, like, homeboys that keep saying it, and now that is stuck in my head.
Yeah.
And the song sounds like 2004, whatever, just generically for me.
Yeah.
That one thing keeps sticking with me, and that's going to be enough. Like, I think that is, if you have that little hook, right, you can go to the streaming site and just be like, you know what, I need to hear this one more time. And that'll get him the streams, that'll get him paid to a certain degree.
Yeah, so salute to him, man.
Yes, sir.
It's another song I kind of came across. I kind of want to get your opinion on this one.
Is it LiAngelo?
I don't know who it is. I just want to get your opinion on it.
I might just boil all night.
Uh-huh.
Buying all these bottles. I ain't even
is this
looked
big?
At the
break.
Who is it?
This one only Jose Figueroa.
Okay, I was about to say, I was like, that sounds like Biggie me.
I need a girl that's so cold. Who look good with no clothes.
That's tough.
All night.
The build-up wasn't necessarily my favorite thing, but once we get into it, I like this song.
Like, this is not the type of music I really make.
Yeah.
But some producer in Miami liked my music off of SoundCloud, and he sent me this song and said, hey, can you put a verse to it? I'm like, all right.
Oh,
so I put
dang.
It together. Yeah. So this was back in like 2011.
Okay, I was about to say, like if this was current,
nah,
you can't go and start the music career and leave us. I want you to understand that.
Nah, I'm retired, man. I got a whole bunch of music.
Hey, don't
too,
ever
man.
Say that.
I'm retired.
That thing's going to. Look how LiAngelo Ball's took off. Somebody's going to be playing it in a video. They're like, who is that?
Hey, he's not 36 years old. So, nah.
So? Isn't that about the age that Titty Boy took off?
Yeah. Hey, nah, it's over for me, man. I love my 9-to-5 job, man. I love being here with y'all. I don't need to be on the Rolling Loud stage. So, I am good. I'm going to stick with music a little bit right here.
Okay.
Are you guys familiar with one legendary Barry White?
Yes, I am.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, okay.
He got into the Barry White bag right quick.
We had this conversation earlier or sometime last year about Michael Jackson. Now, I said Michael Jackson was a gang member. He was tough. And Lopez didn't really buy it.
I didn't buy it.
Do you buy Barry White being a gang banger?
Ooh. Probably more than Michael Jackson.
Wait, what is that based off of?
I could see it.
I think he don't.
So I can't see it with
so
Michael
love
Jackson.
Making Barry White, the one to make the song for the ladies, out here gangbanging.
Well, I mean, you got to make
he makes
song
it for the
ladies.
Guys.
Wait, what?
He makes it for the guys.
For the guys.
Okay, I got you. But here's Barry White talking about his days as a youngin and how he's out in these streets gangbanging.
Childhood was very naughty. I'm an ex-gangbanger from Los Angeles. I've been to jail, fighting, partying, low riding. But you learn as you get older, you must become a man one day and put away childish things. At that age, I burglarized, I stole cars, I fought, I was in gang fights. In 1960, I went to jail for stealing. When I was in jail, my ultimate goal was to change my life. The fact that my freedom was taken, but the hurdle that I got over that problem with was Yeah, you in jail, but how did you get here? Well, nothing but Barry that put you here. And the only way you're going to get out of here is Barry gets you out of here.
I had three ways to go. Either stay there and go through either penitentiary or get myself killed, or just get up off my butt and try to do something in life. And that's the angle and that's the direction I went in.
Did you start toward music then?
Yeah, that's when I started. That's the only thing I had.
That's, yeah.
Yeah, no education, very little education, you know, 12th grade, dropout, and no trade, no nothing, just an idea and a belief in myself.
Now I want to hear some Barry White.
Hey, that's a good thing, man, because if he wouldn't have got
music
out the streets,
taking the kids out the streets.
We wouldn't have known who Barry White was.
Yeah.
Gotta appreciate music. I've been doing that since forever. Yeah, no, I mean, I can believe it. Cam makes a great point, right? You gotta remember, like, you know, before rap came out, and even as rap came out, people were doing those things on the streets. It's just different. Ready,
just imagine this R&B. Guy out here game banging. Hey, give me your car, fool.
It really is the voice. I'm like, what does it sound like?
And your girl.
He said he was jacking cars and doing all that stuff. Like, yeah. Imagine that voice telling you got to come up.
Hey, give me that record player and them rims.
Yes, sir.
But yeah, man, like you got to remember, like there was dudes out here in bell bottoms listening to disco, running you for your pockets. So
yeah, I always tell people, man, don't sleep on R&B people, man. R&B artists are tougher than rappers classics? To me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
People always look at R&B like, oh, you sing, you can't do nothing.
Like like the Ohio Players and stuff.
Oh,
like,
man.
They all look like they carry a switch in their shoes. So, yeah, man, that's okay. Yeah. Today I learned. Mm-hmm. I did not realize that I would be in this place. I mean, it's not entirely something that I wouldn't have understood, but just never thought about the idea that maybe, just maybe, Barry White was out here doing illicit things before.
Yeah, man.
Great, man. Great.
All right, I'll get y'all out of here on this. Chick-fil-A pissed everybody off, man.
I knew I needed to hear. I was like, there was one more thing that I need to hear. What
they changed the fries, man. Mm-hmm. They changed their fries. They did a little tweak to the fries.
Okay.
And didn't tell nobody, and people was kind of in an uproar because they noticed it was a change in the fries.
Mm-hmm.
So they tweaked the fries, and they put pea starch. PEA starch.
As in, yeah, peas. In the pod.
What is pea starch?
I never knew what it was, but apparently they did this to keep the fries crispy.
Mm-hmm.
Because I guess Chick-fil-A fries is known for, by the time you get home, they're a little soggy.
But that's just, so they that's use just fries,
I
don't think though.
So. I guess I just eat them too fast.
That's just fries, though. Like
that's fries in general.
My general rule with fries is that you got about 15 minutes to get these down before they are kind of useless.
Yeah, yeah. So they apparently they stay a little crispy longer, and they're a little grungier. And I actually tried some yesterday.
As in color?
Nah, it looked the same.
Okay.
As in like music out of Seattle.
That's what I was wondering.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but yeah, man, people are not a fan of these fries now. They want to go back to the old fries.
So you had some.
Yeah, you did some actual research.
Are they imagining a different taste or is it a different?
I couldn't tell, man. What's crazy is I had some like 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife mentioned it, and I'm like, I ain't really taste the difference. Mm-hmm. And then I seen an article about it.
She did.
And then
did she know that there was a change, or did she taste
them? She tasted it. Okay. She said something was weird about these fries.
Yeah, because sometimes I have a wonder of like if people are kind of creating that in their mind.
No, but if she didn't know,
yeah.
Yeah, she had no idea. Then she seen the article. She said, I knew they changed the fries. Like I could tell. But I couldn't tell. It was good. I had them yesterday. It was pretty good, man. But,
yeah, I'm like, do they still taste largely good?
Mm-hmm. I couldn't really tell the difference.
Okay.
But apparently they stay crispy a little longer. So by the time you get to the crib, they still crispy.
Trying to make something better and only making it worse.
Why would you change it? That's the best thing they do. Well, people will argue chicken, but I love their waffle fries.
Yeah, no, they're pretty good. It was rumors last year that they were thinking about going to the regular fries.
Like a shoestring fry?
No, just the regular cut French fries.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Yeah, don't do that.
Waffle fries are the best.
I think you get like good surface area, crispness and everything. The only thing about it is you get all of like four fries. because the waffle fry
doesn't. Yeah,
yeah, with the waffle fries,
it don't sit as nicely in the box. Mm-hmm, so you get like
you get four big ass waffle fries,
as
big as your hand.
Yeah, exactly. And you just nibbling on a fry real quick.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's a solid fry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let me know how y'all. I mean, if y'all try, let me.
Hey,
know.
Hey, a listener just said I went to one in Mississippi last weekend and I could taste a difference, and now I know why.
Okay, so maybe this is.
So,
maybe
this is real.
I was wondering if this was some level of like placebo
big
effect
mistake,
or whatever.
Right?
Yeah, because I feel
that's a big mistake.
This didn't feel like a change that they needed to make in order to like fix something. They were trying to make it better somehow.
Apparently, they ain't want to tell nobody either. They ain't put it out there.
Again, if you tell somebody ahead of time, then they have an opportunity to be like, "No, I don't like it just because of the change."
Yeah,
because it's change, right?
Yeah.
Now this, the fact that people were popping up like, "No, there's something different here," I think that speaks to it.
Yeah.
Okay. And the 346 just decided to give us a potato take here. The potato wedges from Wendy's are the best. I'm here to tell you the potato wedges are far from being the best version of potato/fries that are out there. I think potato wedges
now,
are
you know who used to have good wedges? KFC.
They did.
They used to have some really
good paprika
back in the day.
Remember they had the paprika on it? They were good.
Back in the day,
they were good.
Get the hell out of here. Those was legit, man.
They were good.
Well, go ahead and do it. Best fry. Best fry.
I think, until now, we'll get to it.
Yeah, well, bring that in. 713-572-4610. And I'll make sure to ask the guys of the drive when we talk to them next.
Thank you, Figgy.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
All right. Juggling a few things in this moment. Currently on the text line, 713-572-4610. Is a roiling debate about various different potato-based fast food items, tater tots, potato wedges, fries, all that. I'll try and square that up here in a second. Also, the Texans, as recently as 5 minutes ago, actually 8 minutes ago, a couple minutes passed since I looked at it, put on social media something that said, repping the H with the little H-Town hand. Because Arian Foster is apparently set to be repping H-Town for Texans Chargers. I imagine that means he'll be in the building.
That's big.
I feel like I did that myself somehow in a very selfish and neurotic way because I watched that first playoff victory yesterday.
Oh, that you're right. And he was front and center.
I feel like the Texans were like, you know what? Spiritually, somewhere out there, Reggie needs to see more Arian Foster,
and
so let's
will.
Make sure we have him.
They was listening during confessions.
That's right.
Like, you know what?
Yeah, let's go call
Arian.
Let's give Arian.
Hey, come
call.
On through.
Hey, fall through, call. My boy. Fall through. So Arian Foster will be in town. Hopefully, Texas can do.
That's
do,
big. That's great.
Do you know? Yeah, do him right. Go ahead and get another victory.
Let's get him in that ring of honor.
And
too,
for
man.
Those who don't,
hey, man.
Know, he. Had nothing to do with the Texans for several
yeah,
years.
Yeah, I was about to say, he'd been in the building quite a few times, but not officially from, like, the Houston. He was there with, like, Andre and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But, like, this is a big deal. They tweeting him like this. That's a big deal.
Super excited for that. And I guess also, let's go to the phone line because I hear that we got Larry Stafford. I have no idea when he wants to weigh in on.
That's the way I like it, Reggie. I don't want you to know what's coming your way, though. Look here, man. That's some damn big news that my boy Arian Foster going to be in the building, man. I've been hitting Arian on social media for the last 3 or 4 years telling him to come home, man, because he is the greatest running back in Houston, Texas history, and he deserved to be honored the way that we loved watching him play football, because when he was in his prime and his heyday, there was not a better back in the National Football League, man. So I love the fact that Hannah and Cal decided to honor my dude, man, especially against the Chargers, who everybody in the world seemed to be thinking that they just going to come into the eight and just do my boys bad. And I'm okay with them thinking that and picking that because, you know what, I need my boys to understand. We just got 4 games. We break the season down into 4 games anyway, so you got 4 games to do what you know that we all are sitting around here waiting on you to do, and that's to get our ass to New Orleans. And I'm excited about it, man, because I think that now is going to be the time, and you guys were talking about it earlier, about Bobby Slowick. If Bobby Slowick can't pull his head out of his ass in the playoffs, he don't deserve to be in the H no more, man, because this is an opportunity for these boys to go out there and show the whole NFL that we've been serious about football. Forget the season. That's over with. 10-7, that's a wrap. We 0-0, and you got an opportunity to go out there and show your ass in front of the whole world. Now, fellas, last thing before I let y'all go. Some of y'all might be too young to remember Ladd Herzog when he was general manager of the Houston Oilers. But Ladd took his ass to a party or a wedding or something and got butt-ass naked at somebody's wedding. So the Houston Oilers and Amy ain't nothing but a spawn of Bud. And I am laughing my ass off that everything bad that can happen to that franchise continue to happen to that franchise. And I am thankful that they fired Rand, and I hope they go out there and redo something with Brable or some old other silly-ass coach, because as long as they doing silly, your boy going to be at the top of the AFC South and holler.
They're lost over there in Tennessee, and, yeah, we talked about it last week, I believe, or last time we were together, Ladd Herzog mooned a wedding and punched the bride's brother. Remember that?
Just having a good time. That's your fault. Why you have an open bar if you don't want somebody to get mooned?
And punch the bride's brother?
Come on now. but yeah, man, I'm excited for Aaron Foster to be in the building. I love that. I appreciate, though, like from a fan perspective, man, a level of enthusiasm, optimism. And one of the things, I guess, that you could put in the column of, hey, man, Texas have a shot here, a good shot and a good chance. Somebody texted in was like, hey, how are the Chargers against explosives? And interestingly enough, not very good.
Yeah.
Like, they literally have allowed the most touchdowns on deep passes over 20 yards, right? Those passes over 20 air yards.
I like what I'm hearing.
And I think fourth highest EPA per play on those same passes. It feels like that is something that, hey, man, if you can get away to release the likes of Nico Collins or Deontay Johnson.
Time to pass, too.
Over the top, yeah. But, I mean, they're a decent pass rushing team. I wouldn't necessarily put them up as an incredible pass rusher team. And so, yeah, man, maybe you can find some of that. And we know CJ likes being able to uncork that football.
Yeah.
Maybe you could tap into that, you know, that week 18 last season, put your you know what on the table versus the Colts type energy and just chuck it up over top of them boys.
You can, but you need another receiver to be a threat. Deontay Johnson.
I was like, hello, Deontay Johnson.
Yeah, because that's their focus.
You just put your Deontay Johnson on the table, baby.
Okay. You can do that. What? You can do that.
What'd I say?
By the way, you looking at Tyler over there?
What about Tyler?
Did he get another tattoo?
He is struggling with his new tattoo.
That is true. He did get a new tattoo.
It is hurting. But we can get to that later. But no, look, that's the formula. Just protect your quarterback. And by the way, he also mentioned Larry, Bobby Slowick. And if he can't, however he put it, in the playoffs by now, then he doesn't deserve to stay in the H. I think that's gonna be the case if they don't get it done.
All right, so we were talking about best fries.
Yeah.
Potato type things. I don't think, first of all, I would like to make it known, tater tots, I don't care. I don't think that they should be put in this conversation.
I think they're different.
It's potatoes, though, right?
I know, and I think that they're kind of overrated, if we're going to be completely honest.
I like tater tots, but I don't put them in the same class as a French fry.
Like, especially with just, like, the different...
No.
If it's done well, it's, like, crunchy on the outside and then just real soft on the inside. I'm like, I'm good on that. However, I agree with A32 here, who says the best fries are Wingstop all day. They understand what time it is. Like, I understand that there might be some people that call it soggy. This is the one thing I... Look, man.
You can get them fried a little crispy.
Give me the additives, right? If we talk MSG, that's cool. I think Wingstop, they put a little sugar on there. I'm like, look, man, I'm not, I'm here for a good time, not a long time, right? Yeah. I'm not getting fries in order to be healthy or whatever. Like, I know McDonald's did the thing where they lessened the salt on what they were doing.
They have sugar in their fries.
Yeah, man, let's do this.
Hey, some people, stop eating fries, man.
Stop eating fries.
If you came in with the hot take. Like, don't be like, if you want to eat fries. But if you're going to eat healthy, like, less salt, less sugar, whatever, however you fry them, forget about it.
Exactly. And then put some sugar on there, too.
If you're going to eat them, so sugar you don't on eat, fries?
That's right.
In the McDonald's fries, they put sugar in them.
I'm pretty sure Wingstop got some sugar on them things.
Wingstop. Do you not eat fries?
Oh, I absolutely love fries, but I have not. I gave up starches. I gave up all breads, chips, pastas, potatoes, rices. I gave it all up about 8 months ago.
All right.
I went on a date with my wife and had a couple little wafers at a sushi joint it was a special order we had you had to kind of put the sushi on that piece.
Yeah.
So I had two of those. And this is all within the last 8 months. And I ate cornbread twice over the holidays.
I know you're real because you got an accounting of all the times you felt you messed up. Like I feel like if you weren't actually planning on sticking to this, you'd be like, man, I've been.
Well, clean. Here's the crazy thing, Reg, is like, I tried it, and not only lost some weight, but I feel tremendous. Like in three feel weeks, better. In 3 weeks, I've never had anything that I've ever done allow me to feel better.
Like, in that like, short of time.
In that short of time, and that blatantly obvious than when I did that. And I, like 3 weeks in, 2.5, 3 weeks in, you're like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
Now, Reg, you can eat whatever hell you want.
If
I was built like you, hell, I'd eat every fry they had, sugar, salt, put whatever hell you want.
That's
on.
Right.
About to say, let's get back to the fat portion of the conversation.
Yeah, I was like, what I wanted to go here, Ron. Like did that testimonial that your partner just put up there? Did that do anything for you?
Not in the conversation. I try to work around it too. I mean, but let's just
limit.
Like, listen.
Yeah, limit.
Like, we don't have to play all around. If we're talking about the right type of restaurant, like, you know, restaurants that are in there really working, that's different. McDonald's has the best fries.
I think
I don't know if they're putting sugar in it. I don't know if they're putting brown sugar. I don't know what the hell they do.
Really?
Chick-fil-A, McDonald's, Five Guys. That's the list.
See, Chick-fil-A for me, if they just, now I got on Tyler about this a few years ago. He told us about this. But then I have stolen it from him, and now I do it. But if you ask him to fry them hard, now Tyler, I thought was a real a-hole move. He would go through the line and tell him, "Can you please fry them harder?" So it obviously takes it longer.
Give me them fries well done.
But if they it's a completely different thing
because they're fresher.
Because sometimes you can get a little soggy feel.
Mm-hmm.
I think Wendy's has that too. Where I'm like, I'm not. When you fry them hard, if they just practiced frying them jokers hard, they wouldn't have to come up with no new stuff.
I like the idea of them just in there in a boot camp. Like, you're not frying them hard enough.
No, you're not, man. They just sitting there Sonic, like, at
Sonic fries, man.
No, they soggy too.
Sonic. I don't like the Sonic fries as much.
But I mean,
they don't attack it hard enough.
Sonic is
I haven't had them in a long time because if I do go there, I'm going to probably go Tots.
Yeah.
Or something, or onion rings, or something, because their fries are so awful.
Sonic cheeseburger, meat and cheese only with jalapenos in college.
Give me mustard and mayo.
Sonic to me is very dependent. It's one of those fast food chains. It's very dependent on the location.
Yes, it is. Absolutely.
Like each and every one varies in a big way.
Hey, T-Mill, that one in Fayetteville, Arkansas, was off the charts. That was my spot. That and Charlie's Chicken, baby, chicken chunks.
Yeah.
Must have been bottom of the barrel, but they were big old chunks.
I know like it's grease in there, but I bet it tastes real good.
Oh, man, come on. Okra? Fried okra?
Oh, come on.
Come on. Get the hell out
of here.
Potatoes?
I like that.
Give me a 5-piece chicken chunk. Fried okra and mashed potatoes.
See, any place that got fried okra, it has my blessing.
Yeah, if they're selling chicken and fried okra, you damn right.
My favorite chicken place in the world. I knew that I loved it when I was sitting out. And, I mean, had not been there before, walked in without knowing. And I was like, all right, let me get the 4-piece spice. And they're like, oh, no, they're all spicy. And I was like, okay.
Yeah. I know what they're doing.
This is the spot to be.
That's Gus's.
You know exactly what I meant.
You got to get ready for Gus's.
Gus's is the best.
Gus's sides could improve. But don't take
your granddaughter there. They're like, no, we don't have anything for that.
Yeah, this ain't Popeye's. We don't got mild.
Now I'm hungry, so you know what, fellas? I got to go and get some food.
I thought y'all was going somewhere after this.
Yeah, I got to check with Figgy, because I feel like sometimes I say stuff on air and I'm like, Are we locked in? Because I really do want to stop at this Timmy Chan's right now. So I'll go check with Figgy.
I've not been either. I heard y'all talking about it, and I was thinking I've not been either. My in-laws were here last week, and I think they went.
Well, here's the problem that I have, is that I recognize, I was doing the math, and I ain't been there in a long time. I was like, how much of this is nostalgia? I'm about to ruin this.
Yeah, it might not be any good.
Well, I won't say all that.
I'd be a first-timer.
Okay, very good. All right, in the loop, we're done for the day. We got to hand you off to the fellas of the drive. Don't forget, Texas Ticket Tuesday continues with these fine folks. You're listening to KILT, KLT HD2 in Odyssey Sports Station. And right now, the drive is live.